Second Peter, and we're in Second Peter chapter 2 tonight, talking about false prophets. People who don't teach the truth. They teach, but they don't teach what the Bible says. They talk, but they don't talk about things that really matter. You know, if it's not in the Word of God, you really can't count on it. You know, and if you try to add to or take away from the Word of God, then you stand a real good chance of losing your salvation. Jesus said, I will blot your name out. Right? And if you take to, add to, or take away, it's mentioned in Deuteronomy, and it's mentioned again in Revelation. Mm-hmm. If you mess with the Word of God, if you say something that God didn't tell you to say, if you speak things that do not belong to Him, and you proclaim that Word as the gospel, you need to be afraid. You need to be really scared, because God takes His Word really seriously. And Peter here writing to the church, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by the reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken evil of. Now, listen to how Peter's talking about these folks right here. He says there are going to be false prophets. We know from 1 John that even in his time, he said that many false prophets, false teachers have come out from among us. And here he's saying that they're denying the name and the power and the authority of Jesus. These people that are speaking that he's talking about, they're actually blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They're committing a sin that is the one sin that says there is no forgiveness of. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there is no forgiveness. You can say what you want to about the Son of Man, right? But if you blaspheme the Spirit of God, if you take away from the Word of God, you start doing things that are false, teaching things, the doctrines of men instead of the commandments of God, and leading people into that, you're leading folks into hell. And most pastors, people standing behind the pulpit nowadays, don't believe this. Or what they're teaching is something that has been taught to them without any research into it. Right? They're just teaching what comes through their mind. They're teaching what their professor taught them, instead of going back to the Word of God and figuring out what's right and what's not right. Peter said that there's many false teachers. There'll be false teachers coming among you, and shall bring damnable heresies. They're teaching things outside of the Word of God that's going to send people to hell. There's a lot of religions out there. There's a lot of pastors out there that really believe what they're teaching is real. But what they're teaching is a doctrine of devils. They're teaching the doctrines of men. They're teaching away from the Word of God. When they say you've got to pray to Mary, or you've got to pray to Buddha, or you've got to do this and do that, and you deny the risen Lord. There's a lot of religions out there, not trying to pick on nobody, but I mean, we can point a couple out for sure. The Mormons. They think Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, that they're of the same field. They're not. They're not. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. That he lived a perfect life. He died for the sin of mankind. He died for the sin debt that was owed from Adam all the way to the cross. And he took all of that sin on him, and he paid for it. Anybody teaching you other than that needs to have them drug out from the pulpit and beat in the street. Okay? I don't know another way to put it. You know? And there's so many damnable heresies. There's so many things that are being taught in this day and time. Once confessed, always saved. Once prayed, always saved. Now, I believe that when you're converted, you're converted. And when God calls you, you're absolutely called by God. And there's nothing that can change that. You are there in Him. But we have been teaching for over 100 years another kind of a convenient gospel from the pulpits. Pray after me and you'll be saved. Mm-hmm. right? Say these this certain rhyme and this certain word at a certain time, and that brings you into the kingdom of heaven. And that's not true. Go ahead.
End time eschatology.
Yeah, end time eschatology. Yeah. That is something that the Bible, we've got it wrong. I believed it wrong for a long time. You know, and I taught it incorrectly. And until I really got into the Word and realized when Jesus said, you're going to see the abomination of desolation. That happens at the midpoint of the tribulation period. And Jesus said, watch for this. Okay, I was taught that I was a pre-tribber, right? Before any of that stuff ever happened, I was going to just float up and be out of here. And Jesus said to look out, that you're going to see these things. Well, if Jesus said we're going to see that, that means we got to be here, or the church. I mean, I may not be here because that might be 100 years from now. I really don't know. I was told I would never see the mark of the beast or anything like the mark of the beast coming. I believe that we're seeing the groundwork.
Absolutely.
And as fast as things are moving right now, they're talking about a digital ID so you can fly on airplanes. And it's not I said it wrong, it's called it a passport. It's a digital ID for you to get on an aircraft. And if you don't have your digital ID, if you don't have your vaccine, it's all about the vaccine. If you don't have that vaccine, you can't fly. You can't fly from New York to Florida or from Florida to New York. Right? And the Bible says that there's going to be a mark coming that you're not going to be able to buy, sell, or trade. I mean, right now, if you don't wear a mask into certain stores, they won't let you in. And all of that is just the setting the scene, setting the groundwork, getting people used to that. Now, I was taught that I would never see any of this.
I went to a store on Thursday last week, and I went to pay them in cash, and they refused it.
Yeah.
And they said, if you don't do your credit card, I said, I don't want to pay, but they said, then you don't get the, what you're going to
get.
You can't buy. In the city.
Yeah.
At two different stores.
Right. And so,
it's a legal tender still. Legal tender.
You know,
legal,
and well, they know how much it's worth.
Actually, he has to take it.
Yeah, right.
But this is where we are now.
But the machines they got won't even accept cash, only a credit card.
And so, even if they refuse payment, I guess you can just walk out with it. I'm guessing. Yeah, no, don't do that. You're going to jail for shoplifting. But anyhow, you see, there's so. As he talks about these false teachers coming up, it tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. We're seeing more of that, I think, than I've seen in my lifetime. I mean, just out and out teaching the doctrines of devil, the teachings of man or the laws of man as the commandments of God. And Jesus said that the Pharisees were doing it in his time. Things really haven't changed a lot, only now they're not even pretending anymore.
Free fall.
Yeah. It's a free fall. It's
yep.
And I don't know, I don't know. If this isn't the end, if this isn't the days like it was in Noah's time, how bad could it get? I mean, really, how much worse is it going to get? I mean,
well,
yeah.
In Rome,
yeah.
They had the road panels.
Yeah.
They had everything run out in the street. We're not there yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, they just legalized
prostitution.
They legalized prostitution in New York.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have private parts made on a building.
Right.
They're doing that yet.
Not yet.
When did that happen?
Today.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
You know, as I'm, we're talking about it, that it's you know, it is what it is. And so, anyhow, but there were false prophets, false teachers among the people also. and there were teaching, and they, excuse me, I read that wrong. But there, chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who sincerely, they're going out and purposely teaching wrong things. They know better, and they're teaching it anyhow. You know, when anybody tells you that you need to confess your sin to me because I'm the priest, right? That is outside of God's scripture. There is one mediator between God and man. That is the man Christ Jesus. You should never, in fact, you should never call any man father except for your father who is in heaven, right? So if there's, and that's just one that comes to mind. There are thousands out there, but well, right now, one of the false teachers or false teachings that's going on in the church, promiscuity, having sex outside of marriage is okay. A lot of churches believe that. It doesn't matter if you're homosexual or you're heterosexual, as long as you're loving the one you're with. That, my friends, is a damnable heresy.
But that's setting up to the pedophiles.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, again, that's a damnable heresy. Mm-hmm. And these people, these men and women behind the pulpits that are saying that these things are okay, that it's just natural, it's part of life. You're born that way. The Bible plainly teaches that there are two genders, male and female. There is not, well, I think they had like 50 or something like that, initials that you can call people. You're either a male or you're a female. That's all that there will ever be.
Can't be in the middle?
Yeah, no, you can't be in the middle.
Well, yeah, there were some hermaphrodites.
Yes, I mean, yeah, and I know some folks that were born with one arm, too. You know, but that don't mean it's a normal thing, right? Hermaphrodites. Every time I say that, somebody says that. Yeah. And you're right, yeah. Every once in a while, there's just one of those things that the DNA gets messed up in because of sin. Mm-hmm. And not that the people were sinners, just because
but
sin.
But it just proves the rule.
It just proves the rule, yeah.
Right. There's something that's so scarce, it just proves that it's that normal.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. It's not the world. But Peter, when you're teaching people that it is okay to do these things that are ungodly, and don't worry about it, God will love you anyhow. And God does love people. He does love the sinner. But it doesn't mean that he won't judge you because of sin. He does. He loves everyone who's caught in homosexuality. God loves that person. But if they live in that lifestyle until the day of their death, and they never repent, they never come out of it, they will go to hell.
Yeah.
God loves the alcoholic and the drug addict. But if they live in that lifestyle until the day they die, they will go to hell. They have no reward in heaven. You can find that in Galatians chapter 5. Ephesians talks about it. Romans chapter 1. Over and over, you see those things that God says, if you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't build a big church that way.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I don't need a big church. I'm not supposed to build the church anyhow, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus said he's going to build the church. All we got to do is lift him high. And if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself, Jesus said. Right? And it's about him drawing people. We're just supposed to preach the truth, love people in the middle of their mess. It's not my job to judge you. It's not your job to judge anybody else outside of the body of Christ. Amen. Now, notice how I said that. You're not supposed to judge the sinner. That's not your job. But somebody in the body of Christ who's living a lifestyle that is outside the commandments of God, we are to judge that, and we are to hold people accountable for that.
Yeah.
In the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Right? If I know that you're doing something that's detrimental to your walk with God, it is my duty to come along beside you, and we talk these things, and I help you through that. Same thing with y'all and me, right? If you know that I'm struggling in something in my life, and it's if I keep doing that, I might not have salvation. I might lose my inheritance with God. It's your duty to come along beside me and say, listen, Pastor, I love you, but what you're doing is wrong. And it's my job to do that with you. And we do that out of love, out of compassion, not out of condemnation. Because, again, it's not my job to say whether you're going to heaven or hell. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I do know that there are certain things in the Word of God, and if we're close enough to each other and to the Word, we can hold the Word as a light in each other's lives.
Amen.
That will help us to walk in the righteousness of God. False teachers won't tell you that. False teachers will tell you, oh, don't worry about it. God's going to love you anyhow. Live the best life you can. You know, go for the gusto. Yeah, I was already run down a worse rabbit trail than I was on. Anyhow, they'll bring damnable, now he says damnable heresies. These false teachers are teaching things that are sending people to hell. Sincere people that think they're being taught correctly, but since they don't examine the scriptures, the church isn't examining the scriptures. Because if the people that are the body of Christ were reading the Bible the way that they should be, a damnable heresy could not be taught.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? Because if the church was studying the scriptures, they would come up and say, hey, Pastor, what you're teaching there, hey, fellow, whoever's behind the pulpit that week, you know, you were not inside the Word of God. I don't know what you're reading, Democrat Chronicle, I guess, but it was not God's Word. And those pastors, remember, again, those who teach the Word of God are going to be held to a stricter condemnation than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you've got to study to show yourself approved unto God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A worker is not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to study. You need to know the Word of God. Apply the Word of God. Teach the Word of God correctly. And I tell you, every time I stand behind this pulpit and I talk, I am afraid. It scares me. It might not look like it, because I was scared all the time, I guess. But there's a real fear that goes into preparing Scripture to teach. Doctrine. To make sure that I'm not leading anybody outside of the will of God. Because it's easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could go grab one Scripture anywhere in the Bible and just make up a whole doctrine and teach people that. It would send them to hell and send you to hell too. And so because they were teaching damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them or bought them, and bring up upon themselves swift destruction. So even as they do that, denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, what else besides the Lord Jesus Christ does it take to be saved? If you have Jesus and anything else, that's a damnable heresy. You need to obey the commandments. You need to be circumcised. You got to sacrifice a goat on the third day of the month or whatever. You don't got to do any of that. God, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, so the blood sacrifices are done away with. How about the Ten Commandments? Are we supposed to obey the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
We're supposed to try, but nobody can, right?
No, but when you're saved, God puts that in your
heart.
Yes,
He does.
He helps you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get so snagged at things if you continue to trust the Lord, read the Bible.
Yeah.
He says He covers you before, He covers
and
you behind. He's laid His hand upon you.
Yeah.
And we're not going to the devil as long as God does that.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of that is about obedience, right?
You've got to
obey. Because you've got to obey. Yeah, He's before you, He's behind you,
yeah.
He's laid His hand on you. But if you rebel against that, you willfully do things else, or being taught to do things, because He's talking about false teachers here leading other people astray.
Abiding.
Amen.
Abiding.
And that is extremely personal.
Right.
I mean, it is for the church as a whole. But remember, you are the church as a whole.
Yeah.
You are the body of Christ. And we have to abide in Him. If we want to be the friend of Jesus, what do we got to do?
Love Him.
What does He say we got to do? We've got to obey His commandments. All right?
It is love. It says that that is
love. And that is love, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you obey, so there is an obedience that goes about it, but that's still obeying the Word of God, obeying Jesus Christ, not obeying me, mm-hmm. not obeying my law, not obeying anything outside of the Word of God. When false teachers stand behind the pulpit and they start telling you to, you got to count your beats, you got to pray to this person, you got to pray to that person, you can't go directly to God, or there's a whole myriad of things that we could talk about there. And those are the false teachers. They come in and they start teaching, denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lucifer's brother. Anathema. That is not true. All right, that's not true. Jesus is God manifested in flesh.
Amen.
Lucifer was a created angelic being that mm-hmm. said he wanted to have his throne above the throne of the Most High God. Mm-hmm. Pride was found in him and he was cast out. Right? He was no longer in his position as the head musician in heaven. And so, anytime some pastor comes up, starts teaching damnable heresies, first, the body of Christ needs to know what's right and what's not right. Right? What you said, Miss Marianne, you got to read the Bible.
Yep. See, you got to know the Word.
You got to know the Word.
Yeah.
See, because if you're reading the Bible, you know what the Bible says. And if somebody shows you or teaches you something outside of the Word of God, you can catch that.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're not reading the Word of God yourself, or if you're in a place, instead of reading the Bible, that flashes up on a screen just one little verse, right? Yeah. And instead of taking the whole of God and speak, it's so easy to lead people away from the righteousness of God through a verse or changing a word in the Word of God. So it, when you take it and you manipulate it and you twist it up, man, it's a damnable heresy. That's what it's called. And he says in verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken evil of. Now that's really important what he says right there. When those folks who call themselves Christians live like the world, the way of truth is spoken evil of. They call themselves Christian, right? I'm a born again believer in Jesus Christ. That's why I drink a bottle of scotch every day. You know, I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. That's why I beat my kids and my wife. Right? I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. That's why I cheat in the stores, in my business. That's why you can't trust me. See, they've been taught a damnable heresy, or they're living outside of the will of God. And when they do that, the name of Jesus is counted nothing, because the world sees those folks. They see you. Are you living a God-honoring, a God-fearing life? Right? Am I living a God-honoring, a God-fearing life? See, I'm not trying to judge anybody here. I'm trying to bring into your remembrance, our mind, that there is a right way and a wrong way to worship the Lord. There's a right way and a wrong way to call yourself a Christian. Not everybody who calls on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. Not, especially if it's just out of your mouth and your heart's not with him, you're not walking in obedience, you're not lifting your life before the examining your life underneath the light of the Word of God. So you can say a lot of things and still not be right with the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of false teachers, a lot of false preachers out there, or preachers that are saying, it doesn't matter what you do, just say, repeat after me. And don't worry about any of your personal sin, because God loves you and God will never judge you. You're special. You're not special. Mm-hmm. I'm not special either in and of myself. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's special is in me is the sealing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the only thing. Before Jesus came into our lives, there was nothing worth saving. But God is
all. Even after that.
Even after that sometimes.
A lot of times you'll hear people say that.
Yeah,
sin that comes after salvation.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, before salvation, I didn't know I was sinning. You know,
yeah,
I was just doing what came natural. And then when
it was the beast.
He was the beast in me, absolutely. And then when I became, when I knew the Lord, when I understood the righteousness of God, then I understood sin. Without the law, I wouldn't have known, I would have not known that being covetous was a sin. Paul said that. That coveting, I didn't even know that coveting wasn't right until I read the Word of God. And when I saw it in the Word of God, I knew that I shouldn't covet. That's when it became sin to me. So if you're not reading the Word, if we're not studying the Word from cover to cover, line upon line, precept upon precept, then you can be fooled into believing anything. I could be, any of us could. That's why the Word of God has got to be that light to your path and the lamp unto your feet.
Amen.
I always say that backwards. But, you know, that's why we got to have God's Word implanted in our heart and walking in it and living in it and loving the way that Jesus told us to. Because many shall follow, and look at that, many shall follow, verse 2, their pernicious ways, destructive ways. Many are going to follow those destructive ways. And they're going to think it's right. Well, the preacher is doing it. The deacons are doing it. Other Christians are doing it. That means it's okay.
Yeah.
Right? And I have heard that. I've said that.
And yet we're all going to be judged.
Yeah.
Ourselves.
Exactly.
Yes. I will stand before God on, well, praise God, His merits. But without Christ Jesus, I would stand on Him on my merits alone. And I'm not good enough. I fall short daily. But God. Amen? But God.
Yeah.
And so we need to know the right way. We need to live a lifestyle that exudes Jesus Christ, righteousness and truth and holiness all the time in our lives.
Yes.
Because the world is looking at you, especially if you call yourself a Christian.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't call yourself a Christian, then don't worry about it, right? If you don't say that you belong to Jesus Christ, that you're born again, then, well, live like a dog. Go ahead. That's your free will. You can do that. But if you proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you proclaim a deacon or a teacher or a school teacher or the vacuum cleaner of the church or whatever, if you're doing that, you need to live a life as close to Christ as what you can. You need to have this Word in your life, on your life, and working in you in such a way that His name is glorified when the world looks at you.
Amen.
And verse 3 it says, and through covetousness, shall they be?
So they with vain words.
Vain words, that's the word. So they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And he's even saying here, those preachers you keep telling me about, you know, that say, you got to give me so much money or God's going to kill me. You got a dozen of them over, you know, that you've heard over the years and you've told me about. Those folks saying that, here's one. I saw a fellow, he was a TV preacher a long time ago. I see somebody in a wheelchair in their living room.
He got caught.
He got caught. Right? Those folks, they're making merchandise. What's that fellow you was telling me about? You give me a $5, I'll give you a $5 prayer. You give me a $10, I'll give you a $10 prayer. Making merchandise of the people.
And he said, if you give me nothing, then you get back what you give.
Yeah, absolutely. And he ain't saying tithe to God. He's saying, give to me that I would, or my goodness, they're selling prayer cloths.
Yeah.
On the TV I was a kid, right?
Put it on your TV.
and those people need to be drug out and tarred and feathered. Because what happens, the world sees them, and they're the ones with the big TV shows. They're the ones with the 700 Club, and I ain't talking about all of them, but that whole idea, because there's a couple of bad apples in there.
They're satanic.
They're satanic. Yes. Absolutely. And they're purposely teaching people wrong things. Well, God says he's got, well, wonderful thing about that is we don't have to worry about it. God's going to take care of them. Their destruction is swift, and their damnation slumbereth not. The thing is that the body of Christ, the believers, we need to make sure that we don't get sucked up into that.
Amen.
That we don't become that false teacher. We don't listen to them. We don't give to them. We don't waste God's precious time and God's precious stuff on worthless things like that. And so, but God, he says that they make merchandise of you, all right, whose judgment and now for a long time lingereth not. All right, so they're walking a short rope in the hands of an angry God, as Jonathan Edwards would have called it. You know, that it's only by the grace of God as you're dangling between heaven and hell that he does not snatch you up or cast you in. So those folks, it is and they're teaching those, and their damnation, when they stand before God, and they say, Lord, Lord, have we not? And he casts them out, you who work iniquity. And again, that's another scripture that makes me check myself regular, right? Because many will come to me on that day saying, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, I never knew you. You know, haven't we done many great works? And Jesus says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Those who call on the name of the Lord and still live in open sin. Knowing what we're doing is against God's word and calling yourself a Christian anyhow. Lying, cheating, stealing, right? Coveting, all those things. Living in the flesh and not walking in the spirit. Verse 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them, and overthrown, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. All right, so in this, there's some examples that those folks who don't believe that they'll ever be judged by God.
Yeah.
All right? Peter said, listen, if God judged the angels that sinned against him, what makes you think you're going to get out of it? If God judged the whole world and killed every living, breathing person on the earth except for Noah and eight souls because of the iniquity of the earth, the sin on the earth was so great, do you think that God wouldn't do it again? And don't think the church is so hot, right? We're so good. Oh, we have the righteousness of God. If God, he cut Israel out of the vine and grafted us in, don't you think he could cut us out of the vine and graft them back in?
Amen. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And don't think that just because we name the name of Jesus Christ, well, the Hebrews said in Jesus' day, we have Abraham our father, and John the Baptizer, I believe, said that God could raise up people out of the stones. That would have been the first rock and roll show. So we often get this idea because we're American or because we confess Christ that we're something special. We're not. You know? We're not. See, pride comes before the fall.
That's right.
Right? And when the church starts thinking they're all that and a box of crackers, right? I'm all good. I'm so good. Look at me. Well, God's saying right here, he judged the whole world. He killed everybody except for Noah. And Sodom and Gomorrah, he killed man, woman, and child, except for Lot and his two daughters. Because the wife turned back and she became a salt lick. So he killed her too. Right? If God judged those things, don't you think that he has the right to judge us?
Amen.
Also? I don't think this is preached enough. Because we have this idea that God is not to be feared. Right? We've been taught that over the centuries now. That, now don't get me wrong when I say this, because God is all love. Yes. But in that love, he's all just also.
But he has wrath.
Yes, he does.
He's two sides.
Well, he's well-rounded, right? He's well-rounded. He's got both of them covered. He is all love, but he's all just too. And if we sin against his love, if we willfully walk outside of his love, he has damnation. He has condemnation. And he has the power to do it. Mike was talking today, or we were talking just before church, and he had scripture in his mind. Where Jesus is talking in Luke chapter 12, and I believe it's verse 5 because it just left it up. And Jesus is talking, I think it starts in 4. Don't fear a man who's able to kill you, but fear the one who's able to take your life and cast your soul into hell. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't worry about what the world, the men of this world can do to you. Don't worry about Biden. Don't worry about Pelosi. Don't worry about Cuomo. What's the worst that they can do to you?
Right.
You know, the very worst is send you, amen, send us home, right? What we need to fear, what we need to honor, what we need to remember is who we are in Christ Jesus. Walk holy because he is holy. Fear the Lord God. And in that fear, there's an honor. I obey God the best I can, not because I'm afraid of him, but because I love him. Amen? I love God. And because I love God, I want to please him.
Amen. Right, right.
It's not about being fearful like this, but it is about...
It actually means respect.
Yes, respect. Well, and in that respect, right, we all had dads, we all had parents. I did not fear my mom unless I went against my mom, right? When I got against that rule of the family... Then I had a right to fear. Mm-hmm. Right? Go ahead.
I think fear is also trembling. Too.
Yes.
I think it's fear is like encompasses a lot of things.
Yeah. It really does. I mean,
if some people may be neat, they may be...
Yeah. Well, some get saved out of fear. Yeah. Some are pulled out of the flames by fear.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? And there, we ought to understand and really reverence who God is. When you go to court, even for a ticket, you're going to go soon. There'll be a fear, right? There'll be a fear about that when you stand before the judge. Because he has the authority to do one thing or another to you. He has all the authority in that court right there to throw you in jail, to take your license, to do whatever he wants to do at that point in time. And you need to be afraid. I mean, don't go up, I tell you what, don't go in front of the judge and act like a smart aleck.
Uh-uh.
You know, you treat him, yes, judge, no, judge, you know, all those, again, I'm chasing a rabbit here. When you get pulled over for a ticket, right, and the policeman comes to your window, do not roll it.
Pardon? I know my rights.
Don't roll your window down this far and scream at him, you know your rights. That's going to get you beat up with a nightstick. And you'll deserve it. You know what you do? You hold on to the roll down your window, have your hands plain to see. And when he asks for something, give it to him. Proof of your insurance and your identification. And if you do that and treat him with respect, you'll go home with the ticket. If you act like a smart aleck and start, I know my rights. Well, you're going to find out what his rights are. You know, you have the right to remain silent. Use that right. There's all these all these kids that are getting beat up and shot by cops, there's a lot of that going on. Well, not really all that much. It's being blown way out of proportion in our time right now. If that person, instead of running against the cops, threatening the police, charging them with whatever they're charging them with, you know, coming at them with a stick, when the cop says, stop and drop your weapon, if you stop and drop your weapon, you'll get arrested.
That's right. But you won't be killed.
You'll go home when it's over, right? Mm-hmm. But if you continue to push the side, if you continue to get in his face, if you continue to fight against that, you will be shot.
Yeah.
And you deserve to be shot.
Mm-hmm.
But if you treated him with respect, if you treated him with a little fear, if you treated him with the reverence that the badge deserves,
right.
What he represents, all right? If we treated God with that type of respect, that type of fear, because he is the judge, he is the authority, he is the one who says this is right and this is wrong. And if we only knew him that way, we would save ourselves a lot of heartache. We really would. The church wouldn't. Okay, I'm not going to go there.
Well, the more you love him, you want to disobey him.
Yes.
You want the love and his Holy Spirit to flow through you, not hinder you.
I don't do this because I'm scared, afraid.
Yeah, yeah.
I do this because I love him. I preach his word because I love him. I read the Bible, I study the Bible because I want to know him. And this is the only way that I have.
Right? Yeah, and you've been preaching to an absolute surrender. Then that means absolutely give your will to him and say, okay, Lord, whatever comes my way, no questions.
Mm-hmm. No questions. It is okay. And it's okay. No matter what happens, I trust God.
It is.
It may look ugly. It may feel ugly. But I know that if I fight against that and he gives me my will, it's not going to be good.
No.
If I just surrender to him and let him do what he needs to be done,
yeah.
It may be uncomfortable for the moment, but at the end there'll be a reward.
Mm-hmm.
Often we pray to get relieved out of our stress.
But we shouldn't.
And we shouldn't.
We need
Amen.
It.
We need that. That chastening of the Lord. It's hard. It's difficult.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
Remember, God spared not the angels that sinned against, but he cast them to hell. He delivered them into chains of darkness and reserved them unto the day of judgment. All those angelic hosts that came and had relationships with the daughters of men because they were beautiful during the flood, right? God killed all of that perverted DNA that was happening. The Nephilim were coming up. He killed all of that stuff. And the angelic host that left their abode where they were supposed to be, they broke the rules of God and they did this thing. Then God says, all right, I got something for you. And he locked them up in hell.
Yeah.
Until the day of judgment. That means from the day of the deluge, when God sent them to hell, and he locked them away, they've been in prison cells they've been in prison in hell, until that day of the resurrection, until the grave gives up the dead. And they'll be there, they'll be judged. We will judge the angelic host that sinned against God. The church will stand in judgment against Lucifer.
Amen.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we ought to have a reverence for that position. I'm not saying that to make us proud or to boastful or nothing like that, but to help us to understand who we are supposed to be in Christ.
Amen.
And the fear we're supposed to have for him, the reverence. He saved Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. How about Lot? Outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, I think Lot in our time would really help us, the church, in Lot's day. All right, we're living amongst Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
All right, just heard that prostitution was just made legal, all right, here in New York.
I can't believe that.
Marijuana's right around the corner, brother, all right, and once they've been giving out needles to heroin addicts for years. Instead of trying to get them off heroin, let's give them needles.
It's like Diane said, this is about pedophilia.
Yeah, it is.
This is what this
it is.
manslaughter and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And soon, God's going to hear the wickedness of this land, and he's going to send angelic hosts to find out what's going on. And the evil people of this world will want to take and know them. Just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the whole valley, not just those two towns, those were the two towns that God talked about, but there was a whole valley there that was going, and God spared one small town that Lot could run to it with his daughters. But every place else down there burned. Why? Because the people did not heed the warnings of God. They didn't fear God. They wanted a God made in their own image. They worshiped the creature rather than the creator, and God gave them over to a debased mind. Well, here we are. Okay, here we are. Let me ask you this. Is your heart vexed with the evil we see going on around us?
It's uncomfortable.
Yes, thank you. Yep. My wife was telling me, was it yesterday? We talked a little bit, you know, tell me about this. Being uncomfortable, and we went to a wedding and there was drinking and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we did not belong there. Mm-hmm. Right? It was uncomfortable. It just wasn't right. You know,
God just feel out of place.
Yeah.
At those places.
At those places. And we didn't stay long. We did the polite thing and left, you know. Our Lot, although he was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he sat in the gate, he was a judge there, a person of respect. It broke his heart to see that was the things that were vexed. It broke his heart to see the things that were going on. When you think of the, that's probably close to 8 billion babies now that have been murdered. Does that bother us?
Terrible.
When you see these children confused about their gender and being taught that, does that bother you as a Christian?
Yeah.
It bothers me. Mm-hmm. It vexes my spirit to see sex being laid out that is just do it with anybody or wherever you want to kind of thing. You know, it breaks my heart to see what we have allowed that beautiful thing that God created to turn into. Because nothing wrong with having sexual relationships with your wife, period. Okay, and your wife is husband and wife, male and female, not dude and chick and chick. Okay, cats and dogs don't mate, all right? That type of thing. You never see two male dogs.
No.
It's just two male horses. You don't see that. It's not in nature anywhere.
Uh-oh.
It's in the sinful heart of man where we pervert the beautiful things of God. And it vexes my spirit. It makes me sick to my stomach to see the things that are going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the people who are supposed to be making righteous judgments are doing things ungodly in the White House, in the courthouse, in the house of God, where these false teachers are behind the pulpits and saying these things are natural and good, and they're not. God said he knows how to judge that kind of stuff. And the beautiful thing here is that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Praise God. And you know what that tells me? I don't have to worry about it too much. You know? One thing I do know is that the wicked are going to do wickedly, and there's nothing I can do about that. But the just are supposed to live justly. And there is something I can do about that. My life needs to be just.
Amen.
It needs to be holy. It needs to be set apart for the righteousness of God. Not my will to be done, but His will to be done. We won't get all the way through this chapter. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, to despise the government, presumptuous they are, self-willed, that they are not afraid to speak evil of the dignities. Whereas angels are gathered in power and might, bringing not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Be careful how we talk about the people that are in charge. Okay? Did God... I know, I have a hard time with that too. I'm a lot better over the last couple months than what I used to be. I used to rail them hard. All right? But...
Yeah, even tonight I was talking to my sister and I kind of went off a little bit.
Yeah.
But I...
See...
They're instruments of God's judgment.
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yes.
To call them a question.
There you go. If God,
you're serious.
If God is allowing these ungodly people to be rulers in this nation, well, it's because the godly people in this nation stopped fearing God. All right? That's where the bottom line is. Those who are called to be Christian stop walking as Christ. That we dropped the ball. Right? And they're just doing what's natural. And God put Nebuchadnezzar in power. He put the Syrians in power. He put the Jebusites in power over the God's people. Because God's people turned away from the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. We're reaping our just reward.
Amen.
Right? And it is what it is. And I know, again, you, as I'm saying this, and it's because we had a family... you will not build a big church with this kind of sermon. But these are the things that need to be known.
Mm-hmm.
All right? These are the things that's going to help us to grow. It's not my job to put Cuomo down. God put Cuomo in that office. And if he wants to raise taxes to where every business in the state of New York leans, or if he wants to close every business... because of the virus and all the people in New York leave and New York turns into a big frozen desert, you know, praise God. You know where I'm going to be? Behind a pulpit, preaching the gospel. You know, may not be here, might be in jail somewhere, but that's okay. That's what I'm going to be doing. Because this vessel needs to be squared away. It's not for me to judge another man's servant. Do those dignitaries do what I want them to or what I know the Bible tells them to? No. But they're not going to stand before Curtis on Judgment Day. They'll stand before God. They'll get their just reward. And they have a chance to repent and be born again too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would it be if Pelosi really got born again?
Oh,
amen? Wouldn't that be something if Cuomo really and truly heard the gospel? And he turned his heart to Christ and became a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a man. All of those...
Power of God.
Amen. It will change. Well, it changed Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
Right? He had to eat grass for a few years like a wild donkey. You know? But when he came out of it, he said, yeah, that God of Daniel's the real God. You know? And so it can happen. It can happen again. It could happen again. And so, but they're just natural beasts. Anyhow, folks, it's after 8 o'clock. We'll pick up in verse, probably back up and pick up in verse 11 and work our way through the rest of the chapter next week. Amen? Praise God, folks. Thanks. Thank you for coming out on a bitterly cold Wednesday night. You know, I know a lot of folks are home and warm, and that's not us. Amen. So praise God. Let's. Who wants to close in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the word that you preached tonight. Yes. There's just so much to think about, Lord, meditate on, and yes. To pray on, Father. It's unending, your
yeah.
word. It just continues to go on and on and on. And Lord, I pray that for each of us, Lord, we all have loved ones, we all have people
yes.
that in our midst, Father, that are just unsaved,
yes.
hard to heart, Lord, and just sometimes it just seems so hard to just find a door of others
yes.
to come into their life and come alongside them and be given the liberty to just preach your word and give the word. I pray, Father, for each of us, Lord, that you would bless
us
with this grace, Father, of presenting your word, Lord, and being a faithful minister of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lord, to be a light to a world that
yes.
is so lost, Lord.
Oh,
I pray, Father, grant us this grace, Lord. Grant
yes.
us multiple graces to just
yes.
do what you'd have us to do and
yes.
to be conformed to the image of Christ, to live, breathe, walk,
yes.
talk
yes.
the truth, Lord, in
yes.
Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ, and be a light to,
oh,
to this dark world, Father. And I pray in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Folks, y'all be